I'm sure that some of you, and maybe all of you, have entered into a place of worship with Him, one-on-one, where you lose all your voice, you lose all your thoughts, and it's just Him. Just Him. You enter into a place of silence that has a very loud voice. You feel it? I'm going to have Leah open in prayer.
Father, You're so very, very good. We're overwhelmed with Your goodness. We thank You that You loved us so much that You chose to send Jesus. Jesus, we thank You that You came and You didn't change Your mind in the garden. We thank You that when You were whipped at the scourging post, You walked along the Via Dolorosa and You didn't die on the way, even though You were bleeding profusely. That You got to the cross and You endured the shame. You despised it, Jesus, but You endured it for the joy that was set before You. And every one of us here are part of that joy that was set before You, and the joy of pleasing Your Father. We thank You that the work You did on the cross was perfectly perfect and completely complete. You left nothing out. We praise You. We thank You. We worship You. We bless Your holy name, Jesus. We bless Your holy name, Father. We bless Your holy name, Holy Spirit, and we ascribe to You honor and glory and majesty and power and strength and wisdom and dominion, both now and forevermore. We thank You that as You bring to us what You want us to know this week, we invite You to burn it into us. Burn it into us that we don't forget it. For You're equipping us, Lord, because You love us so much. We praise You and we bless You and we thank You for this time of worship. We thank You for the opportunity and the privilege to worship You, the Most High God. We bless Your holy name and we thank You for this week. We thank You for the family reunion, for the people who've come who are part of our family. And we thank You for the new members of our family that are here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I get to live with her. The things to be different. We only do things to be obedient. There's a great difference. If this is your first conference, I'd like you to stand. Now stay standing. When you guys walked in yesterday, you brought a spirit of excitement. Some of us have already lost that because we've been here conference after conference. But it walked in the door with you. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. And don't let anybody take it from you. And you need to share it. You need to put it on someone else. Let it spread. Okay? Welcome. I will clap. You may be seated. There's one gentleman that was sitting close to me yesterday, or Leah and I was going to go over and shake his hand. And in essence, the Lord said, leave him alone. Leave him alone. He's with me. It's the first time he's been here. You'll have time to give him a hug later. I'm right now hugging him. If you are here from overseas, I'd like you to stand. Stay standing. Where all are you from? Ireland?
Iceland.
You already know you're here for a divine appointment. When you walked in yesterday, the anointing went like this. Love you. I could go one by one, but I'm going to be good. You may be seated. Hopefully you have a pencil and a pad. I have a question to ask you, and you won't have the answer at this moment. You'll have to think about it. There is a little over 7 billion people on the face of the earth currently. 7 billion. And my question to you is, why did the Lord allow you to be here? It's not because you're His favorite. Why did the Lord allow you to be here? That's the level of laser focus that the Lord has put the family of the prayer center under this year. It's really always been here, but it's the first time that He has said that I have sent my Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and He has one number one objective, and that is to remove all double-mindedness out of all of us and cause us to begin to laser focus of taking the promised land. And when that word came forth, at the same time, it was not just for the people that were sitting in the prayer center. It was for everyone around the world that's embraced the message. It's everyone that is, when I say embrace the message, is doing the message. There's a vast difference between hearing it and doing it. And every one of you are doing it, and everyone in the sound of my voice is doing it. Just don't let the enemy tell you that you're not. We're all pressing towards the mark. And when each one of us lay our head down for the last time to go home and be with Him, we will still be pressing for that mark because it's inside your hearts. If you ever feel as though you no longer need to press, you've just entered a level of pride, lukewarmness, you put the words to it. It is a continually pressing. Nice thing about it is, you're not pressing by yourself. you're only co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. I used to, when we first was introduced with, that's one of the seven principles that we teach or share within the message that's come to maturity. But I always, when I began to understand, and still trying to understand, co-laboring with the Holy Spirit, I felt as though in the beginning that he was co-laboring with my desires. You know, that he was going to meet my desires, and that my desires was the right desires. And eventually, as Dave would say, my lightning quick mind realized that I was more co-laboring with him and his will than he was going to co-labor with me and my will. Okay? If you have not registered online or here, and you haven't filled one of these forms out, you need to. You need to. Only if you want to remain in fellowship with us after you go home. If this is an event and you've just come for an event, okay, that's wonderful. But we believe, no, we live a life of nurturing. How many have been on Dave's mailing list? Let's call it the snail mail for some of you. How many of you been on it, let's say 15 years? Okay, I need to pick on someone and I can't pick on a friend, so. In the 15 years, all of you, I guess it raised your hand, Has Dave ever asked you for money? Has he ever begged you for money? Has he ever presented a project that if you didn't give, okay, it was going to fail? Now that's from people that have been here 15 years. That's a long enough period of time to know that most likely for the next 15 years, he's never going to ask you either. We're only interested in nurturing and staying as a unit with a level of unity that we can bring a revival that Jesus is Lord over the world, or your town, or your nation, or your island, and that your area is in revival. And you're part of that. Most likely, many of you, will be the individuals the Lord uses to establish what we call a beachhead. A beachhead. The first time that I went to Australia, the first time I went to Australia involved with Dave Roberson Ministry. When I flew over, I got off the plane, and I didn't realize that the Lord was going to bring that island back into my heart to a level that it was difficult to walk. I was picked up by a family and I said, please just take me to the hotel. I'd been there before. I'd helped establish offices there for another ministry, etc. But I didn't know that it was going to come back into me to that level. While I was there, The Lord told me, I don't want Dave Roberson to come here. I want the message to come here. But I don't want Dave to come here. Now, that was in the season that Dave was doing a lot of traveling overseas. So I had the job responsibility to come back, meet with my pastor, you know, the leader, the father, the whatever you call him in your life. I had to come back and tell him that God does not want you to come to Australia. How would you like to have to say that? I get to go. I get to spy out the land, but you don't get to come. You're all smiling like, oh, that's really nice. That's really fun. Okay. Well, it wasn't. So I come back and with a good report, and I met with Dave, and he had the drawer of his desk open, side drawer. He had his feet up on it like he prays, and I believe it was a rarity that he had a Coke in his hand. It wasn't a cup of coffee. And we began the fellowship, and so I got up enough courage. Now, this was many years ago. Don't ask me how many. And I said, Dave, I would like you to judge this, okay? But the Lord has said to me that he does not want you to come to Australia. And the doors, incidentally, was wide open. He doesn't want you to come. He only wants the message to come. And he sits there, and he didn't throw his Coke at me. He just took a sip, and he said, isn't that something? The Lord wants us to establish a beachhead, to win the war, and that we will only go when we're able to win the war. But he's going to send the message ahead to establish a beachhead, to touch that nation. That's a principle, or that is, you could call it a policy, in every other nation, in every other place, it has always been, begin to establish the message, begin to establish it before we go to win the war. And it will be established. So I'd like you to sign up. Next thing that the Lord would have me share, let me go to the page to read this. In this conference, the Lord has told us ahead of time that there will be an opportunity for intercession prayer to take place. How many of you know that you're called as, I'm going to use the word intercessor. We only have one head intercessor, and that's the Lord Jesus. And he's been interceding for us ever since the cross, or ever since the resurrection. But if you feel as though that he has called you into intercession, could I just see your hands? I want you to know that the fellowship hall, not where you picked up your dough balls and stuff, but across the way on this side as you turn around and walk out to the right-hand side, that is going to be an intercessor's room for you to be able to go. We don't want you to lay down your gift of intercession. One of the calling in the lost confessions we make every week, and Gary will correct me if I'm wrong, but we have a minimum of 500 intercessors that are more interested in what there to intercede for than what's going on down the street. Is that close? That close?
Yeah.
Okay. So we want you to know it's open. The room is open. There will also be people. Very seldom does the Lord call one intercessor to intercede when we have this level of a corporate anointing. And we also have individuals to know whether you have entered into a false intercession. And there will be gentle correction. But it's wide open. Don't let that concern you. If you know that you want to be, or that that's part of the call that's on your life, you're welcome to go there, and you're welcome to be there. Primarily, it will take place in the services. Primarily, I don't want you to withhold it back and say, no, now's not the time. It is the time, if the Holy Spirit's touched your heart, to say, I want you to be interceding. I want you to, for something. You know, he never interrupts a service, nor does he ever interrupt your lives. Never, ever. You may be out of balance or one degree off, but he never interrupts. Never, ever. He's much more of a gentleman than anybody we've ever met. I'm going to read this one to you. It came forth in May. To those who have a heart for intercession, this last season, I have placed much on your shoulders to bring the family of God into a place, positioning them for revival. And you have no idea of how you have helped to change multitudes of lives, even in this room and around the world. So the Lord is saying to you today, he's saying it to us every day. Every day. He has to bring himself inside of time for us to understand what he's saying, because he lives outside of time. And every day is today to him. There's, you know, even if it's a century away, it's not always now. So the Lord is saying to you today, expect refreshing. Expect strength. For what I have asked you to do is not too heavy, and it is not too hard. And when you feel like no one notices, and when you feel like you are not accomplishing much, mark down these words, that you are my servants, and you have done what I've asked, and I am very pleased. And get ready, because we are going to push through darkness. It's very strategical what he is speaking to me for you. Not just in a blanket of prayers against the darkness over a city, but specific attacks against people are being nullified, and specific things against the enemy's plans are being put in motion because of your yielding over as he comes to you. Amen. Amen. Next one I'd like to talk about is, we're going to pass all this out pretty soon. I'm going to give you a 5-minute break, and then we'll start again. But if our services are such that if the Lord gives you a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, just a word from the throne room, the services are such that if you gave it, it would most likely be out of order. Not the word, but the timing of the delivery of the word. It would be nice somewhat if we were in the old you know, when the church began and they didn't have a mic and they didn't have anything scheduled, and would get a word and she would deliver the word and we would all sit and listen, and then we would talk about the word that the Lord just brought from the throne room, because we knew that we couldn't transcribe it and we couldn't read it later, and we would discuss everything. They didn't have the Bible. You know, they didn't have a message to be delivered. They were receiving the message just like that. That will happen in this service and in every service this week. And we do not want you to close off what the Lord is telling you personally, because most likely He is not just telling you. He's wanting the body to know. He's wanting the nourishment to come forth into the family as to what He has chose to share with you. The way we solve that is for you to document it, for you to write it, put it in hard copy, and we will put a box in the bookstore, and we will make sure that it's recorded. We will make sure it's transcribed. We will make sure that it's judged. And we'll make sure that you get a copy. Because He may say it to one, but He's saying it to all. There was one that came yesterday morning, and an individual handed it to, I believe, to Leah. And I read it, and I really wanted to share it. I don't have it with me. But it's talking about you and me, your gift, your anointing is as powerful as anybody that stands up here. I mean, every message this year, you know us. I mean, if you are online and you listen to them, we are a body. I mean, yesterday's messages, how could He say it more and again, that you're just as important, just as needed as anybody that's up here? So don't rob us of what the Lord is saying through you. Please document it. Please take the time. We only have one service going on at one time. We have a few that feel as though that what they have to say is more important than that one service, and they continually choose to talk and fellowship during the praise and worship. Heretofore, we've allowed it. We no longer allow it. When the music begins or when the announcement is made, all fellowship ceases and you enter into a corporate anointing for what the Lord wants to accomplish in this service. We love you just as much as we always have. But the Lord is wanting more and more and more of us. And He's wanting your anointing more and more and more to benefit the body or to benefit the family. And there will be plenty of time for fellowship. That's why we don't have three services. That's why you can fellowship, you know, way into the night hours. That's why we have installed speakers out there. When you come in off the parking lot, you already hear the praise and worship, and you just begin to enter in. So I ask you, please be careful with that level of fellowship. The same is true at the end of the service. If we have a anointing line or if we have a prayer line, almost all fellowship needs to be removed from the sanctuary into the lobby. If you were the one that was being prayed for, you would want the rest of the body the rest of the family, you would want them praying for you to add your anointing to whatever's going on up here. If I stub my toe, I guarantee you the rest of my body rushes to help my toe get healed. And that's, we just strayed a little. We're not deliberately disobedient. We just moved a little bit off the line. And if you're in the line, you want the rest of the family to make sure that they're in agreement with you and what is being said, that you get everything that you come for. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Whoa. I talked about that we don't do anything just to be different. We do things only to be obedient. We're only trying to please one person. And he's our Lord, you know. He's your best friend. We don't take offerings or receive offerings. Many of you that have already been here understand. We just put the buckets up here. We didn't do that to be different. We didn't do that for the income to drop and we could no longer serve bagels and etc. We did that because the Lord said, do it. We did it under blind obedience, incidentally. We only felt as though we had an instruction, and we did it. We didn't have the reason for it. I'm sure the Holy Spirit was available to tell us, and maybe we didn't ask, but we just did it. And then teaching after teaching come that what has taken place is that we have brought the offerings to the Lord back to the level of what the individual heart of the individual is, and that they give because they want to. They don't give to be seen, or they don't give because we've made them. So that's how offerings is received. I doubt if there will be announcements about the offering in the future. I think the buckets will just be up here. Maybe somebody says, if you want an envelope, and we pray over. But that's who we are. Okay. One of the steps the Lord is asking us to take this year is to become more laser focused on young adults. Young adults. We had one youth conference, it was called, and it was unlocking the door and opening it a crack into young adults. But he has over and over stressed, the Lord has, that we need to spend more time in His presence in regards to young adults. After we heard that, and after the Lord had spoken it more than once, I happened to be sort of a, I don't know what you would call me, but I enjoy management reports, and I enjoy studying facts, etc., etc. And it will surprise you that on Dave's website, it's never been advertised. It's not a bookstore. It's not designed to sell product, you know, etc. It's an information porthole, I guess, for revelation knowledge. We've never sent letters out. We've never bought mailing lists, etc. 67% of everyone that comes to the website is 35 years and under. Young adults. Surprising, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. that's worldwide. That's just not in Canada, or that's just not in England, or just in the United States. Okay. The hunger for the truth, the hunger for reality. Word after word that the Lord's given us is promise after promises of what He's going to do with this message to that generation. Now, we also have the other problem, that if that's the amount that's coming to the website, when I look at people my age, don't ask me how old I am. I'm younger than you think. Some of you are snickering. We're not reaching what the Lord told us was burn over fields. And He said, He promised us a special reward for anyone that could reap a harvest out over the burn over fields. So we are developing He's really developing, and we're trying to say, how do you want it? The two fields. I think this is a good time. I need some people to help me pass these out. What we're about to talk about is, to me, very, very serious, and I don't want to put any false responsibility on you, nor do I want to put you under a burden. Nor do I am trying to ask you to take false responsibility and begin to try to do what the Holy Spirit is only able to do in His power, etc., etc. It was some time back, long time ago, that I was part of a ministry. And that ministry was very, very successful worldwide. And we had a guest speaker come to the service. The seating capacity of the church was about 5,000. And a visiting pastor came. And we were televising every Sunday morning, but we seldom televised Sunday evening. And he was going to be a guest speaker. And he came and he was introduced off camera and say, this gentleman's going to be here tonight speaking. And he was pretty well known. And he walked up to the pulpit and he said, tonight, I'm going to let you know what the sin is in every one of your lives. You all have it. You all live in it. So if you want to know the sin that's in your life, come back tonight. He didn't do that to pull a crowd. He did that to raise a level of interest for them to come to hear the truth. And so he began by saying, this is the sin that is in every one of your lives. And that sin is getting used to it. Getting used to it. You have the very best facility. You have the very best praise and worship. You have the very best messages, and you've grown accustomed to it, and you have made it normal. You're no longer thankful. You're no longer grateful. And he went on and on. So here at the prayer center, I'm not looking at anyone. I'm really looking at Tim's heart and Tim's mind and saying to myself, have I got accustomed to it? And I just become used to it. Become used to the presence of the Lord when you walk in this place. The number of you who have come and said, it's different. It's different. What's going on? We've had our battles. Every one of you have come from a war. I understand that. There's not a single one of you in here that is not in your own war, does not have your own battle to fight. I understand that. I understand this is the year of great warfare. Understand this is a year of great division. Understand this is a year of great good intentions. You know that. I know that. And you've left that war and you've come here and we have our war. Every one of them is winnable. There's not a single one of you that's going to lose anything if you don't stop. If you don't stop. And what I mean by don't stop, if you just have the ability to stand, that's all. Obedience. I mean, there's no magic. I mean, you've heard that in the messages yesterday and whatever messages you've listened throughout the year. It's very simple. When I say simple, it's the truth that is peace, and that is be obedient. Be obedient in whatever He has said. Whatever He said. You know, the Lord does not do anything outside of peace. He operates in peace. He is peace. You know. So stay in peace. And staying in peace means staying in fellowship. So, if you have your Bibles, I was told by one of the young adults that I needed to say, they no longer want hard copy. You know, they want me to give you the link to the website so that you can go out and get them, and they no longer have paper. They have everything on one of these, and I agree, and they have their Bible, so look up your Bible here, and we're going to go to two passages of scriptures. Both of them is in Isaiah. I'm going to read two passages of scripture if you're keeping notes. The first one is going to be Isaiah 57, verse 15. And the second one is going to be Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. So, Lord, I really ask that You place everything in their heart. Everything. Everything, Lord. Everything. Amen. Isaiah 57:15 says, I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. For thus says the High and Lofty One, He who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place. But with Him also, who is of a thoroughly penitent and humble spirit, to revile the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the thoroughly penitent, bruised with sorrow for sin, soul. Isaiah 66, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, Heaven is My throne, and the earth is My footstool. What kind of house would You build for Me? And what kind can be My resting place? For all these things My hand has made, and so all these things have come into being by and for Me, says the Lord. But this is the man to whom I will look and have regard, He who is humble and of a broken and wounded spirit and who trembles at my word and reviles my commands. What you have in your hand, let me see that you have it in your hand. What you have in your hand, Gary Carpenter, Dave Roberson, Alan, never spoke this. They were only an empty vessel. And it was that God that we call Father, that He allows us to call Father, that spoke everything that's in your hand. That's God Almighty. Because there are so many, and because it flows like water, we sometimes take it for granted. To the point that we don't pay attention to it. To a point that we think that man spoke it because of all maybe the false prophecies that you've received or heard about. And we take this and we make it commonplace. There's not a message, not a single message from the prayer center this year that you cannot find the root of what was spoken in the service inside this. The Holy Spirit has been sent to show us things to come. Incidentally, He's never late. He's always ahead of time. He can solve a question that are 2,000 years in advance or 2,000 years in the past just as easy as He can answer your question today. Because He has all the answers. And He sits outside of time. So every one of these words and this document is what this conference will be all about. You'll be able to find the truth in these. Don't be concerned. There's been at least five people that have reviewed these. And have judged these. Does not the word said by two or three witnesses, every word will be established? This is truly his present day speaking for the family of the prayer center. Worldwide. He's really speaking this to every child of His worldwide. Some would not understand it. Some have not went to that place of maturity or understanding. But this is truth. This is truth. I'm going to read a word that He gave us in 2006. Once again, the time has come for those who will esteem my word more than they do their necessary food. They will no longer take my words lightly as entertainment, almost as something of small value. For I have not had you here all this time to separate myself from you now. With my own arm, I gathered you unto myself. Out of 7 billion people, He has gathered you to Himself for this time. And I am rekindling an appetite in you, an appetite not only for my written word, but for the words that I speak to you, that they become your very life, more precious than gold, more needful than your necessary food. Eat my word until it becomes a part of you, bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, where it brings life to you like the marrow does the blood. With the measure that you give my word, that is exactly the same measure that you will see the results of my word, says the Lord. Eat my word. Am I replacing this with the Bible? No. Am I bringing this alongside with the word? Yes. Because man didn't say it. Period. One of the exercises, there's about three exercises you can do with this document. Well, let me not put the number on it because maybe the Lord will say more. One thing you can do with this is if you read one of them that you disagree with or that you challenge, the Holy Spirit really loves for you to ask questions. You know that? When I went to school, those days that I attended, I was always the one in the room that never asked a question. I was embarrassed or whatever it is, or I was doing something besides paying attention. But I've never found a teacher that did not enjoy a question being asked so that they could enter in and give the answer. That's the Holy Spirit. He just loves for you to ask questions. He, not only is he your best friend and your teacher, you know all that he is, or we're learning to know all that he is. And how excited he is for you to co-labor with him and for you to have fellowship. Every time Gary stands up here and he says, the Holy Spirit is this close. I almost want to hit him because that's so true. And when Alan says, you don't have to look up to heaven, you know, he's right here. He would love to answer your questions about this. If there's one that you, are concerned about, by two or three witnesses, go find three scriptures. It says identically the same thing. Go digging. Go find the gold. Another thing that you can do with it is you can begin to make confessions out of each one. He's going to have you read one and say, boy, this is really good today. In your time of struggle, I just opened it. In your time of struggle, in your times of fight, those other moments I desire intimacy with you so I can tell you I am here, so I can whisper in your ear, you are not alone, you are not going through this alone. This is my desire, to walk with you, to be with you, to fellowship with you. Please don't be alone in this. You are not alone. Tell the devil to go back to wherever he left, because he doesn't belong here, because you're not alone. That's a good confession. It may not be a good confession for 90% of the people in here, but it'll be a good confession for someone, because the Holy Spirit didn't say it, for everybody to ignore it or to not pay any attention to it. Once again, it's awfully quiet. Next thing you can do is make praise and worship out of it. I mean, just take, Lord, you just said to me, because I just read this, I'm not alone. Thank you that I'm not alone. I praise you that I'm not alone. I worship you because I'm not alone. I glorify your name. How long do you want to spend on just that? It will chase every demon out of your life that has a big mouth, that your spirit is really not listening to. It's your soul.
I don't want to use a four-letter word, but go back. I guess the best thing is go back to where you come from. Go back. This document is what I personally call, you may not call it this, but I call this document a corporate blueprint. If you listen to any of the messages out there about your personal blueprint, and if you don't have a personal blueprint, I'll just pray for you. A personal blueprint, bottom line, is everything that God has said about you as an individual, and it's everything that heaven sees you are already. Every personal word, every rhema word out of the word, every song, every dream, everything. It's your personal word. It's exactly who you are in heaven, and it's exactly what he's conforming you with inside the body or inside the family. And every one of you are unique. Every one of you. He didn't create more than one Dave Roberson. He didn't. Every one of you are unique, period. And every one of you have a fulfillment. And your fulfillment is not mine. Watch those people that come and try to give you advice as to who you are based on who they are. You can write that one down and think about it. And Alan has brought more than one message, I guess we'll call it, in regards to that principle. You have one father and you have one teacher. And if you're not called, and I think we use, you're not called to win souls. Not that we're not all called, but he talks about when they went out and passed out tracts and everything, that he was never good at it. But you said, it's Mike Mutual, right? You know, it's Homer back there. I mean, yesterday, if you weren't here in the morning, it was said that Homer has won more young people to the Lord in his community than all the pastors put together. If you put me there, I would have my grade would be F in capital letters. Unique, right? When I went to school, and maybe still in school now, let me see if I've covered everything. When I went to school, we had a study hall. When you went to school, was there study halls in your school? We're now going to have a study hall for you to read that document as much as you want to, and we will start the next service at 2:30. That would give you, 11:30, 12:31. Yeah, it'll give you 3 hours. Okay. Now, when I went to school, study halls was when I played around. I see that some of you recognize the same lifestyle. Because the Lord has said that we're to be laser focused, when he said this through the empty vessels that he was able to use, he already knew that he was going to say we needed to be laser focused. Every problem that you're currently going through, let's say it's hopelessness, let's say it's destruction of reasoning, let's say it's weariness in well-doing, let's say it's your best friends turning against you because they don't understand you. Every answer is in this document. Every answer will let you know that you are on the right path. Every answer, you will know that you're on a narrow path. you will no longer fight the red cape. You will fight the enemy himself. Do you understand what? Do you all understand when I say red cape what I mean? How many of you don't understand? Oh, okay. Pastor Dave, some time ago, gave us a parable. And the parable was a bullfighter, a matador. And the end of the story is, if in fact that bull ever realized that that skinny matador was his problem and not the red cape, that the battle would be over in a moment. Most of us live a life. No, we visit a life. We don't live the life. We visit it when the enemy comes. And we begin to fight the red cape instead of the matador, which is the enemy himself. In here, you'll find out that his current tactics is division. Incidentally, if you're here with your spouse, reach out and hold her hand. Hopefully, it's not the first time in a long time that you've held her hand. I probably should ask your wife that, because she'd tell me the truth. Okay. The great division starts at that level. It's not somewhere out there. It's not somewhere out there. It's whosoever hand you're holding. And if you're not here with your spouse, the truth is still rings true. He must divide to conquer. Must divide. There are other divisions, yes. And there's no part of the battlefield that he is not attacking. And there's no part of the battlefield that we don't win. When I was done with this, I'll close, maybe. Maybe it's my first closing. When that prophecy first came forth, it's the first one, December 29th, 2013. This year coming up is the year where we sell out to him. There's going to be great division in the church, and I'm talking about the prayer center. Incidentally, when he says the prayer center, he really means the family of the prayer center. It was said the prayer center, but it's the church, but it's really the family of the prayer center. There's not a person in here. I don't care where you live, and I don't care if you're only listening. If you're part of this message, you're part of the family. And I'm talking about the prayer center. There's going to be great division in the church, and I'm talking about the prayer center with good intentions, with great warfare. Some will stay, some will go, and I'm telling you, that's okay. It's a year of selling out to him. Whatever his will is, I don't live unto myself anymore. The great division, we're in October. We've already went through 9 months of this battle, of this season. And we win. We win. We win. You've heard, you walk through it. You don't avoid it. You don't go around it. You walk straight through it and you win. You walk out of the darkness that he's brought into light, and the victory over there is something to behold. And there's also good intentions, and there's also great warfare. I sort of pouted. Have you ever pouted when the Lord's told you the truth? I was sort of pouting. And once again, you know, the Holy Spirit, he really never lets you think your own thoughts if you give him an opportunity. He cuts them off when there's still a seed in the ground. There's not even a little plant that's come up. He kills the seed and pulls it out and throws it away. If you entertain it, it becomes a little twig or a little some kind of a weed, and then you have to pull it out. If it happens to be a seed for a tree and you leave it there, it becomes a tree, and then he has to chop it down. I mean, that's the father's responsibility. He does all the pruning. Anyway, it was a seed, and hopefully it wasn't more than that. And he said, you're looking at this through your eyes. Please, I heard the word, please look at it through my eyes. The great division. When this season is over, what you need to be measuring and what you need to be looking at is the unity that I will bring. And that unity will last through my revival. It will be if you like the word three woven cord, it will be such a unit that I'm building the end time revival. I'm building an army. I'm building the level of unity that the enemy will not be able to penetrate it. And yes, it's hard now. Yes, it's hard now. But I want you to look in the future. I want you to see what I'm doing. All the good intentions, I'm going to eliminate all of the good intentions, that the only thing that's left in your heart is my will. You won't go down any rabbit trails. You won't go to any barbershops when they're closed. All that we've been taught, I'm telling you, you will have no good intentions left. You only have my will, and we will accomplish. And you consider great warfare, you need to be considering the great victory and celebration that you're going to live in. You're going to live in. You're going to live in. You will not even remember the past. You'll not even remember the struggles, because you will be there with me. All right. I'm going to give you a... I am going to stop. And study hall begins. You're welcome to stay as long as you want. You can go study hall at your hotel. I would ask that you try not to come to any services without this document. I would hate to ask how many of you forgot your homework. All right. Love you all. Thank you.